I make a lot of statements on my show. Sometimes it's really healthy to get them checked by the field. Let's talk to Jim Milliken, who's running an MSP in the Cleveland area, to find out what he thinks on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Well, the best place to start, Jim, is, so who is Jim Milliken and who is Ashton Technology Services?
I'm a 55-year-old fat guy who's been running an MSP for 28 years. We've had Ashton Technology Solutions since December of 94, just celebrated our 28th anniversary. We are an MSP based in Beechwood, Ohio, just outside Cleveland. We have a national footprint. We deal with clients all over the country, primarily with main offices here in Cleveland. So we support a lot of private equity firms and their portfolio companies. We provide services for them. And we provide pretty much a straightforward MSP product set and service set. Nothing really cool and special in terms of what we do. It's how we do it that makes the difference.
So everybody in the show likes to get a sense of like how big you are, right? And that's kind of headcount, revenue. What are the numbers that you use to measure your size?
Yeah, we are currently 22 people. Revenue is a little, about $6 million a year. We have a diverse client set. We are not any specific vertical, although we are a little bit more picky about our clientele. But we have clients in everything from medical devices to people in the defense industry, financial firms, healthcare, a little bit of everything.
Okay. Now, everybody's got a different version of the definition here, right? So like what an MSP is and what your core services are. Like, how do you describe what those core services are that you deliver to those customers?
We have a somewhat streamlined MSP offering, meaning that we basically have the same service offered in two different ways. We have an all-you-can-eat. We take care of everything, outsourced help desk, full shoot match, everything gets covered. And then we have that same service offering, but we charge per node, and we then charge an hourly on top of it. Now, the differentiator really is the per hour offering is offered to clients that have an existing IT staff. So it's co-managed IT. They don't need the full boat, full line of services, but they need us to back them up or to augment or to do projects or whatever the case may be. So that's really our focused offerings. We do other things. We are actually we've done a lot of high-end network consulting for clients in and around Cleveland, rebuilding, you know, large networks, simplifying them, securing them. We are a traditional MSP, but we do get off and do some really high-end, interesting consulting, whether it's networking, you know, big networking projects. We do IT due diligence for private equity firms where we go in and evaluate the IT infrastructure, both security systems, software and processes, and even people, so that the private equity firms that are transacting in these businesses know what they're getting when they buy it. But in terms of a daily managed service offering, you know, we have the outsourced help desk, we have escalation people, we have 17 engineers on staff. And we have the majority of them, about 12 of them at any given time, are working the front line or the help desk. And then we have, you know, at any given time, five or six of those of additional guys handling escalations and more complex technical needs.
Gotcha. How much do you spend with you and your team in kind of the business layer of your customers? You know, that when we move beyond like printers, the help desk stuff, of the time are you spending on the like making them run better, making them make more money? How much of the time are you spending on that stuff?
Increasingly more. What we are seeing through our client base and through the industry is, and it's kind of a philosophical thing I have, that, you know, you have these bigger players that play in the $100 million and over space. There's this huge market in the under $100 million, specifically the $50 million and under space, that are in need of enterprise level consulting, whether that's business process, compliance, security, it doesn't matter. What we're finding ourselves doing is moving into that space pretty rapidly because You know, I'm blessed that I have a stable team of consultants and engineers that can come in and identify really interesting processes and problems. And we've been helping our clients move through those. So IT specifically is what gets us in the door. But once we're in the door, we're having much more mature conversations about what we can do for the business because we have a bunch of experience in other businesses. Case in point, we've actually entered into a pretty lengthy discussion about bringing our people in, the IT people, the engineers, to actually rebuild some manufacturing processes in one of our clients because they're interested in automating, but they don't really know the questions to ask. So they're starting to ask us. And that's that bridge between the technology and the front office stuff that we're really starting to dabble more in. And I would advise anybody who's running a relatively mature MSP to start thinking about what it's like to get into the business process space. It's pretty unlimited in terms of what the market is.
And I'm going to check my assumption on this. I'm going to assume that's pretty profitable work, right?
It can be. And again, you have to kind of prove your bona fides because if you don't, you get thrown out the door pretty quickly. I mean, most businesses can smell BS a mile off. So we're quite frank and honest about what our limitations are. Again, I'll throw some shade on our industry, and that is most MSPs can say, yeah, we can do it all. We can do this, we can do that. And they don't, and they can't. We're very, very, very specific in our capabilities and limitations. We do not oversell ourselves because what we want to do is we want to really have an engagement that is meaningful for everybody, meaning we're providing the services and answering the questions that need to be answered. But more importantly, we're not getting in over our heads and BSing people along the way. That's bad for us from a reputation standpoint. And also, people tend not to pay for those services. So as we have grown and developed that expertise, yeah, we're expanding and making some good money, very profitable.
Okay. Now, I want to check a couple of things. I was like talking to people like you to get a sense of what's going on in the field. How mm-hmm. much of kind of the new customers you're seeing, particularly businesses that have been created in the last few years or the rapid growth, how mm-hmm. much of them are leaning straight into SaaS and cloud for everything?
What we're seeing is when I first got into the business in the 90s, there was a lot of training and explanation of how to use computers because you had a little bit of an older clientele. You know, you had in a law firm, you had secretaries and paralegals who were in their 40s and 50s adopting technology at a later part of their career. Whereas now you've got this huge influx of kids that have come into the marketplace and are working. So you have this sub 45 year old grouping of people who really understand technology, who get it. As a result, the conversations you have tend to be around the SaaS stuff, you know, subscription-based services, whether it's Office 365, Salesforce, NetSuite, the rest of them. And what we've discovered in our clientele is there's a happy medium between the two. So there's a big, you know, everybody wants to go to the cloud because it's cool and it's neat. But what we're actually seeing is we've always told them, let's pump the brakes and evaluate this and figure out what's the best for your business. So as an example, when you have architects and they say, oh, we want to go to the cloud, you say, that's great. How are you going to handle those really big AutoCAD files? How is that going to get sent to and from, you know, a repository in the cloud? Is that really the best way to do it? Are you better off having those things on-prem so you can manipulate them more easily, share them more easily and everything else? So it's a conversation. I will say that we have had an interesting, probably last 18 months, 2 years, where everybody went off-site prior to that. COVID hits. People are really happy they're off-site. And right now, in the last year, we've seen a big shift back on-site. So the SaaS offerings where they're appropriate make a ton of sense. Email, 365, Google Suite, the whole deal. The problem is when you get into data, when you start moving big chunks of data and you have to keep track of it and security, the SaaS stuff doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense for some
people. Totally makes sense. I'm going to ask a bit of a fun question for this because so you've been doing this a long time, right? You've got and you've pivoted the business a bunch of times, and that always influences the direction because you're in a way carrying a legacy, right, of things you have done. But if I gave you the magic wand and I said, Jim, you're starting today fresh with all the knowledge you've got, but none of the baggage, right? None of the baggage. What kind of organization would you build today?
Knowing what I know now versus knowing what I knew then.
Exactly.
You know, my journey into this business was kind of interesting. I went from the sales side to the technology side, and that was an eye-opener. And I excelled at it. I think if I were to start today, I would really hammer the security. I mean, that's really everything today is security. Data security, identity security, you name it, it's all security. What we're doing and what we're expanding into, you know, like you say, we have this legacy, great example, Microsoft, you have a legacy code base. You have to keep building on it to keep customers happy. Whereas Apple says, we're going to chuck it. We're going to start off fresh. We're going to build new stuff. Here you go, buy it. You know, our legacy of being a help desk company is where we started infrastructure. Today, I would probably go similar route, but I would change it up. I would have more of an eye on more of a broader offering. It would definitely be security and infrastructure, because the reality is everybody needs a plumber. And that's kind of what we do as an infrastructure company, support company, and security company at this point. The other things that are out there, I would really start looking at security, business intelligence. You know, the whole BI movement is fascinating. All this data sitting out there, what do you do with it? Is there value? Do you get an ROI on the stuff that's sitting on your network or available to you? And building systems that can draw that data out. So I would say at this point in time, anybody who's starting an IT business, the infrastructure stuff is interesting and it's hard to do, but I would really focus on data management, data security, and data. You know, how do you get information out of that data? There's a value to it. Figure out how to get that out. So I would probably lean more toward those things at this point. We're doing them. Again, it's tough. You know, you got the battleship cruising along and you got to turn the thing around or make a change, as you say, that pivot. It's tough to do. But anybody, you know, waving a magic wand, I'd be heavy into security, heavy into BI, and heavy into data management. Those three things are the future right there, especially considering that as everything's touching the internet, it's inherently insecure. And what you're unsecure. And what you want to do is make sure that stuff is secure as possible going forward. That's where the industry's going.
I like that thought exercise too, because what I point out is for anybody that's doing it for a long period of time, the business you just described is the up and coming competitor.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The one to think about. So I want to ask, like, based on what you're seeing right now, like, how much do you think what you do in this space is primed for a disruption? Like, do you think about that? And do you think it's disruptible?
That's a great question. One of the reasons why I'm in this business is it's disrupted every day. And the beauty of technology is what is today ubiquitous, tomorrow will become legacy. And you see this great flow of dynamic change all the time. Now, compared to 15 years ago, with the internet really, you know, blowing up and everybody getting on the internet, to today, it appears as though the change has slowed, but I don't think it has. I think that the disruption occurs, you know, it's a lot of small earthquakes every day. You don't have this massive earthquake where there's that disruption. Suddenly, aha, we're all going to do this. I think what we saw with the SaaS cloud movement about a decade ago, you know, reverberated, but it wasn't nearly the disruption that people thought, because as I said earlier, people are coming back on prem. They're looking at this opportunity to do hybrid computing more seriously instead of chucking it and doing something new. So is there a disruption out there? I don't sense or see one, but I do see change every day. And if you're not constantly evolving and changing every day, you're going to run into problems. And that's why I'm fortunate enough to have a team and a staff that they bring the changes to us. One of the things that we really want to have, you know, when you have engineers and consultants at the front edge doing the work and they're coming back to the office saying, hey, we thought of this, we thought of that. It's really good that you get that kind of feedback. So the business stays fresh. We can, you know, pivot, we can be more agile, but I don't sense a big disruption coming. I sense that every day there's something going on.
Well, that's a good optimistic place to end it. So, Jim, I really appreciate you joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's not every day you get to talk about the business.
That is the fun stuff too, is finding where this all goes. So really appreciate your time. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit MSPradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.